The Pennsylvania Polka.
I don't remember the words. I was reading it when I was singing it. Okay, you know what song I do know the words to?
Yes.
Is Mary Ball.
Yeah.
She's a vegetarian. Yeah. Oh my gosh, I love that song.
Welcome to our very casual, I'm sorry, let me start that over. Hey, cool cats and kittens. Yeah. Welcome back to Salem and Binks Present.
The quarantine edition.
It's ultra casual. I'm talking leggings. I'm talking in bed in pajamas. I'm talking Patrick's in the kitchen cooking, making cocktails. Fiona's sleeping next to me. There is nothing formal happening today. We degas.
Bree's at home.
She's out in the field, if you will.
I showered today, so that was good.
Yes.
I put on another pair of pajamas straight out of the shower. They're clean. They're matching. They have hearts on them.
Oh, good. Oh, and they're matching. So, it makes me happy.
I am laying in bed.
That's how it ought to be. That's what we're doing. This is it. And this is an ultra, like, silly, casual movie as well. We thought, fuck it, why not? Let's go ahead and try doing a very impromptu April Fool's Day episode for our two favorite fools. A film that Bree and I absolutely love. I'm talking one of the greatest comedies probably of all time, in our opinions, maybe. This film is cinema. Dumb and Dumber. Ultimate 90s classic. Ultimate Jim Carrey classic. Yeah. Jeff Daniels classic.
And one of the best prank movies, because it is chock full of pranks, practical jokes.
Yes.
May they be intentional or unintentional.
Totally. Very silly. I mean, really and truly, this is a very perfect movie for April Fool's Day. It's about two fools, and they're usually pranking each other or other people throughout the whole movie, and they're kind of preciously dumb about everything. It's just sort of endearing and entertaining all at the same time.
Yeah, and it's a great reminder to not be dumb during this time and stay home.
Yes.
Social distance.
Stay home.
Go outside in your yard or your driveway, but stop spreading this. It's getting out of control. God. Shout out to all the moms and dads out there that are homeschooling and working. Like,
I know.
I feel you. I see you.
Yes. Respect, for sure.
Also, shout out to our first responder friends, nurses, and doctors that are out there.
Thank you guys for putting yourselves on the line.
I've like 12 days in a row, and they're doing some great stuff while I'm watching Tiger King.
Yeah. Well, you know what is funny? The person who recommended I watch it is actually the same person that I watched Dumb and Dumber with for the first time. And
oh, really?
Yeah. Shout out to my girl, Brittany. She has such a great sense of humor. She's one of the funniest people I know. When we were kids, we rented this movie, I want to say, gosh, we were probably a little bit too young to even get some of the jokes. We were probably like 9 years old.
We all were.
And I think it was, you know, one of those Friday nights at Blockbuster. And she was like, wait, you haven't seen this? It's so funny. I'm like, yeah, no, I probably never saw it because I probably wasn't allowed to see it. But was so glad that we watched it. I giggled like crazy. To this day, I still giggle at this film. And it's like, it's like a reaction I can't control. It's just so damn funny.
The first time I saw it also was through Blockbuster.
Oh, really?
I was like 8 or 9. I know it was a new release. Like, it had just come out on tape, and my neighbors rented it next door, and the boys like ran over. They were around the same age as us. And they were like, oh my gosh, you have to see this movie. And they let us borrow it before they returned to the Blockbuster. And then I remember, like, every weekend asking my parents to, like, rent it again.
Yeah.
It was just so funny.
Yeah. Even how stupid they are is actually written with a little bit of intelligence. Like, I don't know if that makes any sense.
So, no, it's so genius. Like,
yeah,
they are super intelligent. And I remember something Tina Fey said. She was saying how you can tell someone's intelligence by what they laugh at.
Uh-huh.
And, yeah, there is, like, fart jokes and poop jokes.
Yeah.
But there is, like, some really highbrow comedy in this also.
I know. That's what makes it such a nice variety.
It's fun for the whole family.
It really is.
I feel like it holds up.
I do, too.
Not every movie does, and sometimes you give something a rewatch, and you're like, ooh.
Yeah.
That's either not, you know, time appropriate, or it just doesn't land anymore. About, like, maybe a month and a half ago, Nina and I and our friends watched it together, and I hadn't watched it in a while. Oh, gosh, we were laughing so hard. We saw the director's cut, which had, like, some extra scenes that I'd never seen before.
Yeah.
Which kind of blew my mind. We just had so much fun. It totally held up. We were just cracking up the whole time.
Yeah, this is really a great, just silly go-to. When, I mean, if you're quarantined, which you should be at this point, if you're at home, give yourself a minute to just laugh and enjoy this film. If you've seen it before, you'll enjoy laughing at it again, like I do all the time. Probably watch this once in a blue moon, and I absolutely love it. Or if you've never seen it, I mean, first of all, what's wrong with you? Second of all, just kidding. Please watch it. You'll love it. I'm just throwing out judgment.
Megan had never seen it, and that's kind of why we watched it together, was because it was her first time, and I don't know if she loved it as much as all of us, but I did catch her laughing.
Yeah.
Just reading about it, doing some research, I was cracking up, like, out loud.
Yeah.
Just reading little tidbits and kind of the production process. It was so funny. It reminds you about how many times you've laughed over these stupid jokes.
Yeah. And it's just one of those things, like, I don't know, sometimes I watch it and I don't realize that it is from 1994. That was a long time ago, but it doesn't feel like a long time ago to me. I feel like it's like I just pick up right where I was as a kid watching it, if that makes sense.
It's a very quotable movie, too. So it's really, you know, lived for so long because I still hear to this day quotes from that movie.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I mean, one of my friends, anytime she, like, can't think of something, she'll just yell, like, Samsonite. Like,
yeah. I was way off.
Or, I mean, try to look at a big gulp and not say, well, see you later.
Yeah. I'm so glad you appreciate that part, just because it's one of my favorite random lines. Has nothing to do with anything in the movie. Zero context needed. It's just a precious moment that happens.
Apparently that was improvised. Like, they weren't even extras. He was walking out of the 7-Eleven and he sees them and goes, big gulp pop.
Yeah.
All right. Well, see you later. the production, like, team, they paid them $75 each to get their signatures, and they were saying how that those people never even saw the movie because they had no idea, like, what was going on. They were like, okay.
They're like, huh? Okay.
I mean, some of the best lines are improvised by Jim Carrey.
Oh, I know.
That was one of them. What was your introduction to Jim Carrey?
There's a bit of a story.
Okay, perfect. I'm glad I asked.
Yeah, so growing up, I was always the youngest on both sides of the family, so I very much would like, you know, whatever my brother or all, like, my boy cousins, like, would like. And sometimes that would be goofy movies like this. I would say Ace Ventura was probably my big introduction. As a kid, I thought Ace Ventura was so funny, to the point where one day we had company over, and Patrick's laughing because he knows the story. And I think I was four. I was really little. And I loved so much the part where Jim Carrey talks out of his ass that I just very proudly decided to do the same thing to the company over at our house.
May I ask you a question? Yeah. Yeah, we did that too. Like, very young. Terrible. Yeah, we used to do that too. We thought it was the funniest thing in the world. And I was like 8 years old when that movie came out. And this movie too, they came out the same year.
Yeah. Huge, huge hits for him.
Jim Carrey was thriving in 1994. Like, The Mask.
Oh, I know.
I looked at the kid, and then Ace Ventura and Dumb and Dumber all came out in 1994. I first saw Jim Carrey in Living Color. I used to watch that as, like, a very young kid.
How cute.
My parents loved it, and we watched that in SNL all the time.
He was great.
And I loved, like, Fire Marshal Bill. And he was always, like, exploding. And just, I remember he was so funny. We would just, like, laugh and laugh. And then, you know, 1994 hit, and all of his movies started coming out. And then just ever since then, he's had, like, at least about a movie a year after that.
Sometimes, like, folks that come off of SNL or sketch don't always transfer as well to film. And he is
totally
so, so great at it. He was made for it. Like, he just proves it in this film completely. Well, I do have the B.O.B. before me.
Oh, yeah.
I guess I'll read it since I'm not on the phone.
Yeah.
Aw, Bree's a sleepy. This is a kind of interesting back of box, actually. It's all yellow with a couple of pictures from the film, and then there's a random photo of Lauren Holly. It's just not a picture from the movie. It's like some weird headshot of her or something. It's like just...
That's funny.
I feel like it could have been a test photo for her hair. Like, here's a picture of the bob we really want her to work in the movie. And they did like...
Oh, that 90s bob.
Right? That bob. Girl.
We talked about that bob in, you know, the Santa Claus.
Yes, we did.
Laura's bob. I mean, it was just, there's another example.
Laura's bob was real, like, sharp. That was, like, blunt cut, short bob. That one did not, there was no softness.
Hair is out of place.
Yeah, that was a helmet. Laura's hair. And then Mary Swanson's bob. A little bit softer. A little bit softer. Beside those photos is a great picture of Jim Carrey giving Jeff Daniels a wedgie. This movie has all the pranks, just like you said.
That's not in the movie either, huh? That's just like a thing.
It's just like a little press photo on there. I love it. So here we go. B.O.B. for Dumb and Dumber. Jim Carrey, The Mask, Batman Forever, and Jeff Daniels, Speed, Gettysburg, are too lame to live and too dense to die as a pair of deliriously dim-witted pals on a cross-country road trip to return a briefcase full of cash to its rightful owner. Along the way, they'll confound cops, kidnappers, and anyone and everyone who has the misfortune of crossing their paths in this comic caper for every idiot in the family. Approximately an hour and 47 minutes. Every idiot in the family will enjoy this film, guys. It must be at least PG-13.
PG-13.
Yeah, it is.
I mean, there is some, like, raunchiness in there, but it's pretty tame, you know? You don't get a lot of curse words. And, things are kind of just insinuated.
Yeah, it's actually quite tame, considering.
I would think, though, the kind of worst part is probably... the scene in the bathroom with Seabass.
Yeah, that's probably the only moment that really doesn't hold up well.
Yeah, like I would clip that out in any kind of future showings on, you know, TV. It's just...
I think it's like for the joke's sake, it's like, oh, well, let's bring him back.
It's kind of making rape funny.
Yeah, and it's like, that's
and
not funny.
And the sucking of the thumb, it just doesn't play, like, it did in 1994.
Yeah, yeah. That would say that was definitely the worst. I personally have never loved the fantasy scene where he does the huge fight in the restaurant. And it just...
Oh, the Kung Fu?
Yeah.
Yeah, or Mortal Kombat?
Yeah. It just goes on forever and ever and ever. Those are probably my least favorite moments. But I get why it's there.
It's a little long.
Yeah.
It's long, and I think it was just like an outlet for Jim Carrey to use physical comedy, because in the movie, there's not a ton of physical comedy, but he's able to do like those weird moves of his body and... Yeah, Mortal Kombat's like not like it was.
Yeah. And obviously, dream sequences are always sort of excuses for what we couldn't fit in directly into movies.
Yeah, and there's a lot of dream sequences in this movie, and that's actually one of my drinking game
rules. Yes! I can't wait.
There's so many.
I know.
Now, there is a bathroom scene in this movie that 100% holds up every time.
Oh, you mean the diarrhea scene?
Yes, that's what I'm talking about.
Oh, yeah.
Which we'll get to. No, that's... That held up.
That's iconic.
And when we saw the DVD recently that had the director's cut, there was a part that, I'm glad was never in the original cut because... I didn't realize, how Jeff Daniels had to really put his foot down to be in it, because all of his, agents and people around him were like, this is going to ruin your career.
I know. Everybody was so against having him in this movie, which I just never knew.
Yeah.
But I grew up with this movie, so I never really thought that was a risky move on his part.
I did know him as a serious actor. I had seen Arachnophobia prior. That movie really freaked us out as kids, but it inspired my brother to have a tarantula as a pet, which wasn't my favorite pet that we owned.
Yeah.
R.I.P. Fang, we had him for quite a while. But yeah, I knew him prior, and I remember thinking it was weird that he was playing such a stupid character, because I knew Jim Carrey to be insane.
Did always find it interesting that he was the counterpart, but then reading about how he wasn't wanted and how Jim Carrey was very insistent, no, he has to be the person who grounds me. I guess it makes a lot of sense, really, because being kind of a counterpart to Jim Carrey in this, I mean, for the most part, Jim Carrey is so silly. You kind of need a little bit of, someone a little humble, if that's the best word, really.
Yeah, he does play the voice of reason, but he is still an idiot. He's the dumb to Jim Carrey dumber.
Yes, yes. And I think that works really well. Yeah, it's a very good two peas in a pod kind of story. And I think typically road movies are usually a straight absurd.
Playing strings and automobiles.
Exactly. And there's something really fun about this.
More different.
Mm-hmm. We get that great introduction in the very beginning where Jim Carrey tries to hit on a woman that just so awkwardly does not go well. I love how he's in a limo. He rolls down the window and he's like, I'm teaching a class a few blocks from here. Can you tell me how to get there?
Center?
It's wait, why would a teacher be in a limo or a professor?
That's what I thought too.
Just that alone, before going forward, this already tells you the level of stupid. And then, of course, we intercut with these shots where Harry's at his day job, which is Mutt Cuts, where he is a dog groomer, mobile dog groomer, in the giant, gorgeous, huge van that looks like a dog, a sheepdog.
It is the worst thing you could do to the vehicle, because the second it gets dirty or wet, that thing is destroyed.
Yeah. Yeah. No, there's no value to that car. There's no resale value. There's absolutely no. And he says later he spent his whole savings on that.
The value is in the shot when it's flying through the air. And the wind is blowing through all that shag carpet.
Stop. It just looks like a dog, you know, flying through the wind.
It's purely in comedic value.
Yeah. So while Harry totally fucks up his day, feeding dogs like hot dogs and ketchup and shit.
With mustard, yeah.
Yeah, it's like, of course he shows up to a dog show and the dogs are completely dirty again and completely messy. Meanwhile, Lloyd picks up this gorgeous woman, Mary, and as a limo driver, he's taking her to the airport. And just the scenes with him interacting with her, like, just make me giggle.
I mean, we've all been in Ubers and, you know, sometimes limos. Having that kind of interaction and having him as a driver, I would be so on edge.
Yeah.
Turning around and saying, like, I've got worms.
Yeah. Which just be like,
I would be like, actually, I need to get out right here and then call another Uber because that would freak me out.
Yeah. No, just someone, like, trying to be quite that friendly with you is just, it just gets so uncomfortable.
Yeah, please don't talk to me.
Yeah. And then the worst is when they get there and he's like, how about a hug? Like, no. And that carries through the film. He has decided from this one, like, pickup that she might potentially like him back because she conversed with him. Like, he thinks he has a shot with her, which is just sad.
Almost. What? Predatory. Like, him following her across the country is, like, super freaky.
Yeah. Yeah.
If I need to find someone, like, I can.
He could have even gone back to her house where he picked her up to bring it there and just hope that... I mean...
It could be that simple of, like, oh, you left your briefcase. You'll get it back when you get home. You're right.
Like, he could have. She'll come back.
I didn't even think of that. She's not moving back. She's just going on a vacation.
Yeah. But because he knew she was going to Aspen, he's like, we're going to Aspen. So, determination.
You know, I think, too, it comes out of an act of desperation because they both get fired right before that decision is made.
Yeah.
So one of the most quotable lines that I use, like, very often, and it's when Lloyd is dropping off Mary, and she's walking away, and he can see her through the glass, and he goes, goodbye, my love, and then crashes. Anytime, like, a friend is driving away and I'm still, like, outside of my car, just in my head, I'm like, oh my God.
It's so great because it's so dramatic. It's like he's clearly just mad crushing on her and totally distract her, and then boom.
They literally talked for maybe 15 minutes. I mean,
yeah.
Just because it was his first time probably, like, speaking to a woman like that.
Yeah. Oh, Lloyd. Lloyd Christmas.
So, in Lloyd's speech, Lloyd Christmas, and her name is Mary, so if they got married, her name would be Mary Christmas.
Which is adorable. Just makes you want them to get together, which you know isn't going to happen anyway. So, after she leaves a briefcase in the airport, he sees that and freaks out thinking she forgot it. I got it. Somehow get it back to her. So he goes and steals it. Unbeknownst to him, these two goons, if you will, two bad criminals. Guys. Yeah, two clearly the bad guys. Shay and Mentolino. Yes. Guy with an ulcer and has to take pills every time he gets stressed out. So they track them down to their apartment where it's revealed they're fired. And when they do, they really freak them out. They're knocking on the door, like, kind of scaring the guys. The guys just escape, thinking, like, oh, we didn't pay the gas bill, so maybe it's, like, bill collectors. Like, just showing up to do what? Like, harass them? Like, it's the kind of thinking that doesn't, you know, you can't expect much from them.
Make any sense.
Yeah. And it's when they return that their bird had been murdered by these guys, and sadly, freaking Harry's like, oh, Petey died, his head fell off. It's like, oh my god, like, what? How do you not get that his head was ripped off? It's so sad.
That doesn't happen.
No. It's like, and then I think Lloyd's like, oh, well, he was getting really old, so.
Yeah, well, but no.
It's like, no, that's not how it works.
I mean, lizards can, like, drop their tails, but birds can't drop their heads.
Yeah, that's
not how it works.
But that is a great scene where I think this movie just ends up being worth talking about, because it's a short moment with few lines, but he completely delivers.
So they're both
so low.
And Jim Carrey delivers an Oscar-worthy scene about
such a moment.
Their current state. I mean, it is actually very well acted, and
yeah,
he is showing so much emotion, and he's just, you know, their pet's heads are falling off. And he's talking up Aspen. He says a few things, but he references one of our towns is San Juan Capistrano.
Oh, yeah.
He says where the salmon flock. Now, not salmon.
It's not salmon. It's swallows.
We have swallows, that come, which are a bird.
Well, it's so...
They're living in a dump.
It's such a great scene invoking, you know, the desperation, the lack of everything. You know, their situation is just completely shitty, and they literally have nothing else to kind of, I guess, live for, you know, other than taking it upon themselves to say, fuck it, let's go on a road trip and bring this suitcase back to this lady, because that could be something. Like, it's such a hopelessness. And it's,
yeah, that's their only option at that point. And he delivers a really good line where he says, I'm tired of being a nobody. And that really convinces Harry, like, okay.
Yeah.
I'm going to do this for you because I got laid off too. So let's go.
Yeah. And I think it's kind of a sweet moment because it's like, even though they're in such a shitty situation, they're in it together. They're friends. They're there for each other. And it's kind of just that why not moment. So, yeah, it's the real catalyst to really get them moving and starting this little adventure.
So, the road trip starts. They have no money, but Lloyd has a bunch of snacks. And Harry is kind of wondering where he got all the beef jerky and cash. And he said he sold a few things.
Right before they left.
Now, if you notice, they didn't have a lot in their home. So Harry is very confused as to what he had sold. And then just under his breath says, Petey.
He's like, wait, you sold my dead bird to a blind kid? I thought that was the best thing ever as a kid.
Like, sad blind kid that's in a wheelchair. And Harry's like, just so appalled because Petey didn't have a head.
He's like, Harry, I took care of it.
So that is also one of my favorite lines because he says it as if, like, Harry, like, you idiot, of course I took care of the head.
It just cuts to, like, this poor child petting a dead bird with a duct tape head on it. And he's just like, pretty bird.
Imagine how bad that thing is going to smell in a few days. I know.
Like we said, there be some pranks. There be some pranks.
Yes. Intentional or unintentional.
Yeah.
I don't know. That was more of like a bamboozle.
Yeah. That was worth the 25 bucks.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, that was great. Oh, my God.
You know what's funny is I remembered that kid from being on Baywatch.
What?
And there was, like, this really traumatic episode where, like, I don't know, him and a girl got, like, thrown off of a jet ski and there was a shark or something stupid. And then I remember seeing him in this movie and thinking that, like, he was the same person, like, as the only 8 years. I'm like, oh my gosh, like, this forgot him.
Yeah. Oh my God. Isn't that funny when you're young and you start recognizing actors? We kind of check in with Mentolino and Shay, our criminals who are kind of pissed at them for stealing the briefcase, and they arrive back at their house, and literally there's a sign on the door that just says, "Gas man, we went to Aspen." It's like,
okay. Yeah, like, why would you give your
location away? And I love how they look at it and they're like, how do you, these guys must have been following us for weeks. They're good. How do they know I got gas? Like, so we already into this really, like, silly running joke where they're obviously really dumb, but continue to be giving the impression that they're really on to everybody and they're these criminal masterminds. So that kind of starts off not only their trip, but then the trip with our bad guys following them.
Yeah, they just have some accidental acts of genius where it leads everyone to believe that they know what they're doing. They don't even know what's in the briefcase.
Yeah. The next best kind of slick move, I would say, is when they're in the diner and they basically get in huge trouble with this trucker guy named or called Seabass. Kick his ass, Seabass. And
yeah, that's another quote I hear a lot.
He definitely is intimidating. He's huge, he's scary, and he gets really pissed at them.
He's an ex-NFL player.
Oh, is he?
Yeah. And he's huge. I mean, he's like a big, tall guy, and then the hat makes him look taller.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, what happens is that Harry spills the salt, and Lloyd says, "Throw some over your shoulder, it's bad luck." And Harry takes that literally and throws the whole thing of salt behind him.
Just
and
it tosses hits Steve
in the back of the head.
Without looking. And of course, they're in deep shit already. The best, though, is they later find a way to kind of get out of having to really pay for their food. Lloyd says, "Hey, I saw this in a movie. Let's just go along with it." And comes up to Seabass, says, "We'll buy you a round of beers." Then they go up to the register. They tell the waitress there, "Yeah, Seabass over there, he said he wanted to take care of our bill and put it on his tab." And she's kind of doubtful, but Seabass looks over. Yeah, and she's like, "All right." And
she's like, "See that stuff, guys?" And then like, they point at themselves, like, "Yeah, us."
Yeah.
But they think it's for the beers.
Exactly. So it's this great, again, kind of bamboozle, another one, if you will. And they get the hell out of Dodge. And I love as they're driving down when Harry's like, "Where did you learn that idea? Like, that is genius." And he's like, "Oh yeah, I saw it in a movie once." He goes, "Well, what happened to the guys in the movie?" He's like, "Oh yeah, they caught up with him and slit the guy's throat. It was great." It's like, are you crazy?
No, apparently though, because honestly, they wouldn't have been able to think of that, you know, prank on their own.
Mm-hmm.
It's just too, you know, devious and
yeah, it's too clever.
Well
for
thought out. But that movie that they're referencing is a movie that Jeff Daniels was in.
I read that. It's called Something Wild? Sounds like Something Wild.
Yeah, it's so funny.
I gotta watch it.
Threw that in there.
It's cute. Like, that they, I mean, it's not cute because obviously it sounds like a serial killer, but so, it's cute that they put it in there.
Funny. And they do get away with it, you know? Seabass runs out and he's like, "I'll kill him." They drive off.
It's like at that point you're realizing they literally get across the country literally with dumb luck. Like,
yeah,
it couldn't get better. I think after that is where we have the Harlan Williams scene where he is the police officer that pulls them over while they're pissing in beer bottles and decides to take a swig, which I don't know that a cop would do that.
Yeah, I think that was just
to be gross.
That's so gross. I mean, okay, first of all, one, drinking and driving is bad. Two, he filled up like 4 to 6 with beer bottles of pee.
It was so gross. They were like, how many?
They were so afraid to stop, so that's why he was filling them up. Because they were afraid Seabass was going to catch up with them.
That's true. And that's why they were driving so fast in the first place. Yeah.
What's so great is when he hands the cop the beer and he accidentally spills a little on Jeff Daniels.
And he's like, oh, God. Like, these guys may be dumb, but they need, like, extremely great actors to play them. And they got the right great actors to play them. It's just those moments.
Well, yeah, and the cop, oh, my gosh, that noise he makes, it's so funny.
I know, he's like, I can't even do it right. He just straight up, like.
I can't do it either, but.
He just starts, like, almost, like, not seizing, but. It's wrong. It's bad.
Yeah, it's kind of like when you have something really sour and your jaw kind of locks up, like a warhead, and it's like, boom, your glands are buzzing.
Yeah.
You just, like, swigged your hot urine.
Ew.
I don't think that'd be my reaction. I think I would just start, like, throwing up, you know, spitting it out, throwing it up right away, not like.
Yeah. He's, like, trying to process
it. He's like, get the hell out of here.
I know. He doesn't even, like, book them or anything. We cut to Mary in Aspen. And I'm going to guess she's with her dad and, like, her stepmom, I think. Because she calls her Helen. And she's talking about someone named Bobby who's been kidnapped. And she says, I left the money where I was instructed to leave it. I don't know how the briefcase could be stolen or gone. I don't understand. And the person helping them out is a guy named Nicholas, played by Charlie Rocket. He was in Hocus Pocus, actually, as Dad Kuda. I always loved him. Sadly, he passed away.
Wow.
Yeah, he committed suicide, like a lot of comics, which is really rough. But his performances are great, and they do live on. And he is really good in this role. And he's, you know, trying to kind of reassure them, you know, we got to get this money to these kidnappers. And we don't know yet, but it is revealed that he is involved and kind of the mastermind behind it all. So he's sort of playing Mary there. And it's just sort of to have this exposition and let everybody kind of understand the seriousness of this briefcase and why it needs to get to who it needs to get to. I'm just raising the stakes, really. And I think after that, we just cut back to Lloyd and Harry driving. And I think that's when Lloyd has his epic fantasy.
Which, like, if I were to make that today, I probably wouldn't have had the scene where he pulled up her skirt.
Yeah, just her butt.
That is sexual assault, but... But as a kid, you're
strange
like, oh,
touch.
My gosh, your butt.
Yeah.
So you think it's funny.
Yeah. It's an eye roll.
And that's the that dream sequence is the first time we see him with a binoculars and he shoots it out of his mouth, which, like, is such a Jim Carrey move.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know what, he loves that move. He's done it so many times and he sprays it and it just misses his whole mouth.
Like, oh, he doesn't get, like, what that does. That does for him.
Or, like, how to properly use it.
Yeah. He just thinks it's something that makes the person look cool. Like, he doesn't get that there's a purpose to it. Like, so silly. So perfect.
But it needs to go in your mouth.
Yeah. You actually don't spray it off to the side. I have always, and again, poop humor, but I have always super loved the flame farting scene. It's just there's something goofy about all of them in their ski sweaters in this lodge laughing it up at his completely dumb jokes prior to the fart itself, but just completely stupid. Like, he just takes a bowl of, like, nuts and then just eats them wildly and they, like, lose their minds. Like, it's just the kind of thing that, like, a little boy would fantasize and be like, ha, that's so funny. Like, I would impress people.
I think that's every person that's somewhat funny. It's like their dream when you're meeting a new partner's family.
Mm-hmm.
And you want to be like you know, making everyone laugh and just be a hit. And
yeah.
Everyone's like, oh my God, amazing.
You just want to impress everybody.
His idea of that is like lifting his legs and lighting a fart. And just everyone is like uproaring in laughter.
Which was just like, also shot so well.
I've ever seen.
Yeah. God. I still laugh at it. It's so dumb, and I still think it's so funny when I see it. What's wrong with me?
So I grew up with a younger brother, and our street had tons of boys. There was, like, no girls to play with, just boys. And I have seen a fart lit on fire so many times in my life.
Real? Is it big, like, in the movie? Is it, like... Do people gasp?
No, not where, like, it would cast, like, a shadow or like, you know, show light on everyone's face. No, it would just be, like, a little teeny
blip
thing. And sometimes it works most of the time.
It's probably just a disturbance to the flame rather than a fireball. That's what they made it seem to be.
It just kind of would push it, like, out, you know? But it wouldn't be, like, you know, some people could blow, like, alcohol out of your mouth, or like use like a hairspray can and it's like, you know, the flame start. No, it's not like that at all. It's just like a little like
wow.
I do remember the one boy, he like, we were kids and my brother had a couple boys sleeping over, and one of them did it, and his, like, lit up blue, and we just were laughing so hard, because it was like, why did it turn blue?
Oh, my God. What did that boy eat?
It was small, but it was, like, clearly blue. We thought it was so funny.
There's some special gases coming out of that boy's tush. Wow.
Yeah.
That's so gross.
I'm sure if we had my brother on the line, he could tell us, like, tons of stories of them, like, you know, burning their underwear or whatnot, but,
Jeez.
We'll save that for another day.
Yeah. Harry and Lloyd would love that, though. That's right up their alley. After that, they go and stay at the little love nest, little over-the-top.
Yeah, the top. With
yeah.
So romantic.
Yeah, totally. And then
they're just, like, bragging about their, you know, previous galliances with women, and
yeah,
I love how it's insinuated that the girl that left Harry was like Lloyd and slept with her.
Yeah,
he's like, oh, I know her. He's getting all excited, and then Harry's like, yeah, she broke my heart. Like, I thought she was the one. And then he just kind of gets all quiet. Like,
oh, aww. Basically. It's revealed that Nicholas is not Mary's friend. Nicholas is in charge of this whole thing. Nicholas actually is on the phone with Mental. He hears that these guys stole this briefcase and he's freaking out and he's pissed. And the whole thing is kind of just this reveal that he's not who he said he was.
Yeah, it's like an inside job almost, where they think that he's got their backs, but really he's hired these like two goons. And, like, they're holding her husband ransom, but we don't know that yet. We don't remember that she's married.
Yeah, we just know someone named Bobby.
Don't they talk about it when she's with her parents?
Yeah, they're talking. They just say that there was a kidnapping and they just say Bobby. They don't say who he is. You could assume it could be her child. It could be brother or something. It could be anybody. It's just because I remember thinking, like, did they mention it? Because I know it's supposed to be the surprise later that she's married. And then I'm like, but we know there was a kidnapping. I think as a kid I didn't really pick up at all. I think I just thought, oh, there's a bad guy and his two bad guys that help him, and there's money for some kind of kidnapping or ransom, but I didn't put together like who it really was for. Just that she owed them money somehow.
She thinks that when she got on that plane that it went well, and she doesn't realize until she gets home that, you know, that guy is like, oh no, these other two guys took the money and
Yeah, and she does not know who stole the briefcase. She doesn't know that it was Lloyd at all. She just knows that someone else is interfering and therefore it's getting complicated, and that's freaking her out as well as freaking out Nicholas in charge of all this kidnapping nonsense. And on the phone with Mentolino, he tells him, you need to take care of these guys. We have this other scene where he and Shay kind of set it up to look like he's in having car trouble, and he's hoping that the guys will pull over and help him. And they do. So he sort of joins their road trip, and they are so annoying the entire time. I mean, it's just them having a free-for-all.
This is kind of like parents driving with little kids in the back.
Yeah.
Just, you know, going back and forth. They're playing like tag in the
car. They're then, singing songs.
You know, one of the best lines that was improvised by Jim Carrey was, you want to hear the most annoying sound of the world?
Yeah.
And that was a true reaction from the other actors. It was like, oh my God.
It's just so obnoxious. It cannot get worse. Like, it really cannot get worse. And he starts to lose it. He's, like, basically telling them to shut up and stop. It's so, so annoying. Finally, they pull over and they decide to eat at this spicy restaurant.
They try the pepper and they, like, lose it. They have to, like, be mustard and ketchup in their mouth. Flipping out over how hot this pepper is, and then they do it in front of him, like, they ask him if he wants it, and he's like, no.
Yeah. He's like, why don't you guys just do it at the same time and, like, stop being little bitches about it? And then they do, and they just, like, start squirting ketchup and mustard in their mouths, like, insanely.
So, yeah, then he leaves, and, you know, they put it in his burger. See him have to take his pills in the car. Like, he mentioned something about his ulcer, so they know. And I know that he has rat poison, you know, that he's going to give them or something. But what is he taking for this ulcer where he can just, like, chew it?
I know. I wouldn't think that it's an immediate... Yeah, I wouldn't think that it's, like, an immediate aid. I would just think, like, okay, you have a daily pill that regulates that, but...
chewing pills. It has to be, like, a
chewable. Yeah, he definitely needs them, like, on hand. He needs them as emergency, like, immediate relief, for sure. And he steps out of the restaurant to give Nicholas a call, telling him, you know, plan is, I'm with them. We're at this restaurant. I'm going to pop them some rat poison pills. Like, don't worry. We're going to take care of these guys. And when he comes back, the guys have put, like, these extremely spicy chili or peppers in his burger, and he takes a bite just as he realizes that these guys are not evil geniuses. They literally are just trying to return this briefcase to Mary, and he realizes, like, it's hilarious that they came off to him like that, and he starts laughing, so he's not really paying attention, and he eats the burger and completely starts having an attack, and he falls back and he starts begging them for his pills. And so it is like he needs these pills, like, as an immediate relief. But being how they are, they didn't see that it is straight up not a prescription bottle of any kind. It's like this little black capsule bottle. And
no, it's I think it's like a film bottle.
Yeah,
like, used to have
it's definitely not for medication. It's it's like a little...
No, I'm pretty sure it's like a, you know, Kodak film bottle.
It looks exactly like that. Like, that's
with
what I would think
pop,
it is.
You know, that's where, like, people would hide weed. Like,
yeah. Exactly.
Stuff a ton in his mouth.
Oh, my God. And so...
They're, like, patting him on the face, and then he, like, looks and he sees that the rat poison, and he just starts, like, seizing out right there.
Yeah.
And then they just leave a dead body. They just walk out.
It's just, they're like, check, please. And then it just cuts to them on the road. It's like, wait a minute. Why isn't there, like...
Well, the cops show up, and they're like, what happened? And then, you know,
They explain, left. Yeah, it's like these two gentlemen driving a, what do they say, like an 84 sheepdog or something. Yeah. It's like, what? So the cops are like on their yeah. trail.
Because they like, see something, they're like, oh, we didn't get the plate.
Yeah.
And the cops like stop and he's like, well.
So they'll be recognizable.
I don't think we'll have trouble finding them.
Yeah.
Technically, that was manslaughter.
Yeah. They're just like, well.
Or like,
on to yeah, Aspen.
Third degree murder.
Well, see you later. All over again. Who wouldn't just
bail?
They
literally killed the man. I didn't even no. saw that as a kid. I was so serious. It was like, oh, the bad guy's dead.
Yeah. And the word never got to Nicholas or Shay that they are literally, it is coincidental. Like, they are just these two loser guys with a briefcase yeah. have no idea what they've gotten themselves into.
Yeah, Shay thinks that he was iced. Like, that
yeah.
they killed him on purpose. When it was completely accidental.
Oh, God. They get to a gas station, and some interesting events take place. Not only is this a scene where Lloyd runs into Seabass again, and it's that cringy scene that doesn't hold up so well. Basically, what does it say on the wall? It's like...
And then it says, like, for man love, be here at 2:15 sharp.
For man love.
Or, like, 2:45, like, in the morning. And
yeah.
to be there at that time.
Yeah. And, he realizes that it is exactly that day and time, and he starts hearing the footsteps coming in the door, and there's all this tension building. And then we intercut between that scene and a scene where Harry's filling up his tank, and he kind of starts flirting with this woman.
Beautiful. I love the cutaway scene with the detective. We don't know it's a detective.
Yeah, Beth.
Their interaction is so funny. Like, she's just one of the best. Like, she's like, you're sprayed everywhere.
Oh, my God. So, and then literally,
I
love that.
I thought it made it.
The dog's like
the
leg.
Dog
yeah. That's so
she's
funny.
She's about to lift the whole leg up for it to get to the gas tank. But, like, everywhere, she's like, you're sprayed everywhere.
Yeah. I love it. It's like, the ski's yours. She's like, yeah. He's like, both of them. Just, it's these kinds of moments that are just silly and precious.
Yeah, they pull such an amateur move that you never light a cigarette
yeah.
at a gas station. Like, well known for years.
Yeah,
like even in the '70s, people knew like not to do that.
Yeah, because you know, shit
and
blows
it's
up.
She's, like, going on and on and on about, like, her ex-boyfriend.
Yeah. I love her whole backstory of, like, she's just trying to get away from her ex-boyfriend, so she's going to Aspen. Like, I want to know everything. But obviously, they couldn't care less.
I love when she gives him the number, and he's like, 555. And he's like, yeah. Leg is on fire from giving her a light. He's like, 555.
She's like, wait, that's my old number. Isn't that funny how that happens? And he's like, just give me the goddamn number. So while Harry's foot is on fucking fire.
He runs into the bathroom.
Yes.
For some relief. To put it in the toilet, which I probably would have ran to the, like, section where it has water and air.
Ah, yeah.
I don't think I would have ran into the bath. Actually, I probably would have just, like, did a drop and roll.
Yeah, I probably would, too. Or there's always those little, like, window washer bitties.
Like, oh, yeah, right there.
Yeah, yeah. I would do that. Unless they
there
didn't have
a
them.
Reason for this.
Yeah. and thank God he gets in there just in time before Seabass, who is the man lover that wrote the wonderful message on the wall to be there at a certain time. He totally saves Lloyd from being, taken
yeah,
advantage of, if you will.
I get creeped out in that scene because Lloyd is sucking his thumb. And
yeah.
there's just, like, something so off-putting about a man
yeah.
sucking his thumb to me. It's weird that he reverts, like, a baby.
Yeah. It's like he's that scared.
Like, I don't know why he doesn't try to defend himself at all or get out of there.
Yeah.
It's like, really?
It's really creepy when Seabass walks in and sees that it's him. He, like, gets excited that, oh, it's you. It's like, no, like, oh, no, no, no. This is bad, bad, bad. Like, you don't want him to do this, let alone enjoy this. Like, oh, God.
I would have rather there had been, like, a glory hole situation than him in the actual stall with him.
Yeah. Is it sad that for some reason I feel like a glory hole situation would be extreme back then, and yet this was not extreme back then?
Yeah, you're because the glory hole seems more consensual for some reason.
Yeah. Yeah. Isn't that weird?
And more anonymous.
Yeah.
Thankfully, the fire saves Lloyd from being raped by a man. Yeah. Not the best.
And then I think this is where they completely drive off course, I guess, to the plains and to Nebraska, I think they...
Nebraska. And this is so funny because so Lloyd's driving and Harry's sleeping, and Harry is, like, snoring a bit. So Lloyd goes to plug his nose to stop snoring, and he totally misses the fork, which is, like, a giant... work in the road. There should have been tons of signs in the intersection, you know, but no. So he drives in the completely wrong direction for a while.
Long time. And I just love their reaction.
Yeah, it's probably like 8 in the morning by the time they figure it out.
Yeah.
So he's driving like all night.
And they just kind of look out at the horizon and go... Damn, I thought the Rockies would be rockier than this. That John Denver is full of shit, man.
That is a great one.
This is so good. It's like, oh my God. Because they were probably anticipating time-wise they would have been there by then. Just nothing for miles.
Yeah, that's where tornadoes come to die.
They leave that area open so tornadoes can play. Like, that's why that is empty. And I love that this scene leads to them having this kind of confrontation. And they sort of start blaming each other for the things that have gone wrong in the trip. Finally, they sort of walk off. Eventually, Lloyd catches up with Harry on this tiny little bike.
Well, I looked it up. It's a mini bike, and it's called a Taco 22.
Ah. Very cool.
That sounds like it's for a child.
Yeah. It looks like it's for a child. It's very small.
Well, it's like he trades it from a kid.
He's like, here, you want my dog vehicle?
Probably one of the biggest mistakes they could have made. One, I mean, Harry just sat in a field. Like, he could die out there.
Yeah.
Like, Harry's butt crack is just...
I know!
It's gonna be funny, but it is. It's so funny.
It's like, oh, I feel so bad for them, but also your butt's hanging out. Like, that's just...
He's supposed to be mad, but it just makes it so... That's one of the best lines of the movie, too.
Yeah.
When he comes back, and Harry is, like, so pissed. He's just like, out of all the things, stupid things you could have done, you go and do something like this. And you're thinking, like, what an idiot. Like, he traded a full vehicle for, like, something you could buy for hundreds of dollars.
Yeah.
And they have no shelter. Like, this is just this little bike that probably is only going to last for a short time. And Harry is, like,
so excited
with this decision.
Yeah.
And totally redeemed yourself.
It's just one of those, like, you feel bad for them for being dumb, but, like, their dumbness helps them get through things together. Like, again, dumb luck. Like, what in the hell? Any other human being would be so furious with the person who did that they would leave them and try to go off on their own. But it's like, that's the preciousness between these guys. And it's a great kind of release, too, of that tension. You're like, oh, God, they're so screwed over. Oh, nope, they're choosing to go this way. All right, great.
You know, Harry is so happy about this bike because it gets, like, I don't know how many, but it's like tons of, you know, miles per gallon.
That's true. And it is the thing that takes them to Aspen, surprisingly.
I don't know how they both fit on that thing. I don't know how it could bear that much weight. It seems like it would be something that has like a 160-pound weight limit, you know? Yeah.
I have no idea.
Grown men on there.
Oh, I know. I have no clue. And they are clearly, as they're driving into the mountains, they're getting frozen. At one point, Harry pees on Lloyd because he really has to go. And he's like, just go, man. And so then he's frozen, stuck to him completely.
Their nostrils are, there's like icicles hanging from their nostrils. And you would see that and be like, oh, that's so funny. That would never happen. That can happen and does happen when it's that cold.
Oh, I bet.
So much when they get off the bike and Harry's just like on his back.
Just stuck to him. Just doing a piggyback ride. So great.
Stupid.
So right after that, they decide they kind of have to figure out where the hell Mary Swanson's from, and they realize they don't even know where she lives, what her last name is. It's like, oh, maybe it's, and he guesses her last name. He says Swanson, and he goes, maybe it's on the briefcase. He's like, oh, Samsonite. I was way off.
Yes. That's such a great line. So funny that he says Swanson, but he also says, like, Slappy.
Yeah, he says so many crazy-ass words. Swami?
Slappy.
Slappy. Mary Slappy. You know, the Slappies.
I remember not getting that joke and my parents laughing harder than them telling me, like, oh, that's a brand of luggage.
As a kid, I even knew that and got it. And I was like, I've laughed so hard. And I think I was proud of myself for getting that joke because I knew.
You knew what Samsonite was.
Yeah. So from that point, they basically are just going to go camping. They just go to a park and hang out with a bonfire.
They have nowhere to go. And yeah. They don't know how to find her yet.
And they don't have, obviously, any money to stay anywhere. And they get in a fight because Harry's hands are freezing. And Lloyd says, oh, here, take this extra pair of gloves I have. My hands are getting kind of sweaty. Like, I'd be super pissed, too, if somebody had spare gloves while I was freezing my ass off.
Harry puts his hands around Lloyd's neck. Lloyd starts screaming. And you think he's choking him really bad. But then Lloyd goes, Harry, your hands are freezing. It's like the worst thing he could have said. Like, that would have just made him more pissed off. But
it's just like, this is the kind of stuff.
It does make him pissed off. And then Harry throws the briefcase because he's like, this is coming in between us. You know, like, wasn't there something like, this is from the devil? Or
yeah.
Like this devil case or whatever, and then he throws it, and it opens on impact.
Yeah, and tons of cash flows out. And then it cuts to them walking down the street in town, and they're like, okay, we're just going to spend a little bit so that we have just enough to get by until we can find Mary and give her the briefcase. It just cuts to them at the Stanley Hotel in the presidential suite, completely taking advantage.
Don't they say something like, we'll give them IOUs, and then they go, we're good for it?
Yeah, yeah. We're good for it. Yeah, it's like, what? Do you know what that means?
You have the money in the bank, but you don't have access to your bank right now.
So yeah.
You can't, you know, you're just going to borrow it and then give it to them later. They're not good for it.
Yeah. No, they had to sell a dead parrot to get $25. They're not good for it, period. Like, it's so sad. So they get excited and they start spending all this money and having a lot of fun. And then while they're using money as tissue paper for their eyes, crying at a Pacific Bell commercial, they see in the newspaper a picture of Mary, and they name
for the snow owls.
Yeah, so there's going to be an event for, like, endangered owls. It's basically a charity event. And they're like, oh, we got to get ready and dressed up to go to the ball, to go to the event. And that's when you get this wild montage of them getting all cleaned up. And yeah. It's just absurd. I mean, it really, that's where it kind of goes a little bit cartoon-ish.
Yeah, it's hilarious, though. I mean, they're trying on, you know, they look great. Like, there's one where he puts on, like, a white tux, and he looks amazing.
Oh, yeah.
And Harry's like, no.
Yeah. Every time he wears, like, a nice, like, tailored suit, he looks really good. And then Harry's just like, no, that's all wrong. And then finally, by the end, they choose the tackiest tuxes ever. Bright blue, bright orange, ruffled tuxes with matching top hats and canes. Just goofy as hell, tacky as hell. Yeah. Like, even in the 70s, I don't think they were doing the colors bright like that. I think if they were doing orange and blue, it would be more muted. Because you would see ruffled tuxes in the 70s. This is just not those. This is something wild.
So, well, and in the montage, you see them get ready, and these, like, poor women are trying to, you know, like, cut their toenails and cut their hair. It is, like, very clear that they make them look nice, and then they go right back to looking ridiculous.
Yeah. And their hair was looking really good when they did it. It was really, really funny.
Yeah, and he messes up his hair, and then she, like, puts a bowl on Lloyd's head to cut his hair.
So funny.
For this, it's, like, they look ridiculous.
They really do.
Matching, like, powder blue and orange suit. And the entrance was so funny. I love when Harry hits Lloyd in the back of the leg with his cane.
So it's literally ground. Like two children and like sword fighting and just completely immature. So over the top.
So
great. It's so embarrassing. And they're stopped very quickly by Nicholas, who says, excuse me, this is a huge charity event. Like, it's $500 a plate. Like, and they're like, oh, okay, put us down for four. And, like, just hands them a huge wad of cash and walks past. And that's when Shay is like, oh, my God, that's them. And she said, I think she says, like, that's, those are the guys that whacked mental. And he's just like, oh, what?
Yeah, and they think they're, like, evil geniuses. Yeah. They would be cocky enough to, like, show up and that they were going to do something, you know, and oddly they do something.
Yeah, so.
By mistake.
Yeah, so pretty soon they see Mary. Lloyd does not have the nerve to go up and talk to her, so Harry kind of plays wingman, is like, I'll go talk to her, but he approaches her, starts chatting with her, and then her, like, stepmom, and they said in the prior scene that they wanted her to sort of act like everything was okay and super normal and not lead on that there's any crisis going on at home. She basically sets up a date for them.
Mary doesn't see Lloyd there, and so Mary has no idea who Harry is or that Lloyd's there.
Yeah, she really doesn't know at all. As far as she knows, this is just a friendly, eccentric guy with a crazy suit who's very
thinks he's an eccentric guy. And he's someone, like, supporting the cause that her family cares about, so she thinks, you know, she can trust him.
He very nervously, you know, says yes to going out with her tomorrow, but backs away to Lloyd and anxiously lies to him, saying, yeah, you got a date with her tomorrow, no big deal. It's like, we know this is not gonna go well.
Yeah, because he never brought up Lloyd at all.
Yeah.
Which I don't know why he does that. I think he just gets nervous.
Yeah, I think maybe he, even though they're good friends, I think maybe he just, in the sight of a pretty woman, thought, well, maybe even I have a chance with her. Like, you know, they're both a little bit selfish. Like, I don't know.
Yeah, I guess he doesn't seem to be that into her, but he does kind of, like, stab him in the back.
Yeah. Yeah. And then very quickly, they wanted to celebrate, so they open a bottle of champagne. And
I think they grab a bottle at Dom Perignon.
Yeah. I mean, that's fancy. So that cork pops and flies across the room, killing one of the endangered owls that is on display.
Yeah.
Very
and
sad.
The bad guys, they think it's a message.
Yeah. I think the next scene, Shay and Nicholas are like sitting there and she's like, hey, maybe it was a coincidence. And he totally makes fun of her. He's like, hey, maybe it's a coincidence. Oh, no, they did this on purpose. We killed one of their birds. They killed one of ours. It's like, oh, my God. Like, I laugh so hard when he says that. And it's not like he's, you know, trying to be, it's not this really silly moment. It's just like, oh, my God, like, of course, that's further proof to them that these guys are geniuses.
Yeah, and it had to be, you know, it wasn't like they had two tigers up there.
Yeah. It's just, it's perfect. And what's great is the fact that Shay even thought maybe it is all a coincidence, and she's the one who was actually right. The next day, Lloyd gets all dressed up. And I love his outfit. I love that outfit. Like, can that be my Halloween costume? I love that outfit so much.
I love a good bowl tie. Harry tells him that his date is at 10 in the morning at a bar.
It's just so funny. He goes there. There's nobody there. And he just walks in.
The bar isn't even open yet.
Yeah. He's like, we're not open till 11, but you can hang out if you want. Like, it's just so awkward already. It's like, why would anybody think, let's meet at a bar at 10 a.m.? Like, what?
Yeah, and Lloyd hangs out there, like, all day waiting for her.
I know.
Yeah.
Bless his heart.
Harry is having, like, a fun date on the slope. He's wearing, like, a ridiculous ski outfit.
It's so fun. It's, like, full ski day.
Tight.
Just the neon is happening. Snowmen, snow fights. He, like, totally chucks a snowball in your face, like, way harshly at one point.
I read that the soundbite they used for that was, like, a baseball player's record, the home run of that practice. That's what they played.
That's amazing.
Yeah, and then, yeah, they make the snowman and he puts the pieces in the wrong place at the carrot. He puts his tongue on the lift pole and gets it stuck. I love when he says to the kids, he goes, would any one of you happen to have some hot water? Some warm water?
They're just staring at him. Oh my God.
The way he says it, like, would any of you
happen to have some hot water? My God, it's so great.
Gross when they must have had this like weird fake tongue.
Yeah.
It's almost see through. It's so gross.
I know. It's like a giant like gummed like or like a gummy tongue or something. Like it's so weird. It's just so gross. And then we cut back to Lloyd hanging out in the bar all day, and he also runs into Beth, who again, bores people with her ex-boyfriend stories.
Yeah.
Which I love.
She's staying at the same hotel. And I remember, like, the first time watching it, like, that's weird that they keep running into this woman.
Mm-hmm.
Because, like, why is she there, too? You know, I didn't get that until later.
And then at the end of the day, Harry drops Mary off at her place and Lloyd, I guess talking to the bartender, finds out where she lives. So by the same time that he gets there, he sees Harry dropping her off. And does that amazing reaction shot when he sees them drive, or he sees Harry drive away. And it's just like that gag that he does. Like, oh my God. I don't know why. I just can't stop chuckling at that scene.
Yeah, the song is perfect.
Yeah.
The bartender, he knows Mary, and he's like, oh, she lives on the big house, you know, on blah, blah, blah street.
Yeah.
You literally watch his heart break.
I know. And it's so funny because
he's going to throw up.
He always has, like, a vulnerability in his acting, even when he's doing ridiculous shit like he's gonna throw up comically. It's like you still feel so sad and sorry for him.
Yeah, he makes it funny because it's not like a crestfallen, like, oh my gosh, this is so bad. It's like, he does this, like, dry heave. It's so funny. That would be my first reaction. I would be like, you know, hurting on the inside, not wanting
to Oh my God. So at this point, Lloyd knows that Harry's been hanging out with Mary. Yeah. And when he sees Harry later that night, he sort of takes it upon himself to kind of drug Harry. He puts a whole bunch of laxative in his drink. And
this is probably the best prank of the movie.
I think it is. This is April Fool's Day.
Has it been a payoff?
Yeah.
You know, Harry is kind of playing it off like, wow, like, she didn't show up. I'm surprised. And then they figure out the whole, like, 10 in the morning thing.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, my gosh, I think she meant 10 at night. And Lloyd goes, I just thought she was a raging alcoholic.
Yeah. It's like, it's just so,
so concerning. And Harry's is completely like, oh, well, you know, she really wants to see you. Like, and kind of playing it off like she's going to meet him at 10 p.m. So he still has hope. But Lloyd knows the whole time.
Yeah.
Like, wow, my best friend has betrayed me. And he asks him to come in for a glass of tea.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
The way he makes Harry drink it, where he, like, puts his hand on the bottom to make sure he...
With that evil look on his face. Like, so good.
No one can drink tea like that, too. It's
I know.
Hot.
He's just like, well, okay, I'll keep drinking it. It's like, you would totally taste that something is not right. You can't just hide laxative in tea. Can you?
Yeah, you would taste it.
I mean, especially not that much of it. Definitely not that much of it.
The way that, like, right before he pours it in and he does the little, like, commercial.
Yeah.
The turbo
lax. Fast, effective relief.
And then the way he pours it is so funny, too. It's, like, so evil and sinister. It's not just, like, he whistles as he does.
Yeah. He is, like, so, like, enjoying this revenge he's going to get on Harry.
Yeah. And, boy, does it play off. Or pay off.
It does. Oh, my God. So, Harry arrives at Mary's. So, he starts feeling it hitting him. That rumble in his tumbly. Oh, my God. He runs into the bathroom immediately. Just takes the most, like, comical diarrhea shit of all time. So loud. Like, the Foley in this scene is absurd. And
his legs shoot up in the air, which, like, that's never happened to me before.
I don't know how that would, like, help. It's just insane. It's literally, like, his legs shoot up. Like, there are noises that are, that it's like shooting out of his ass. It's completely crazy. It's completely insane.
Jeff, he's committed to this scene.
Oh,
like,
my
he
God.
Did not downplay it at all.
No.
It is over the top. It's not just the noise, it's the movement in his body. Really nails it.
Oh my God. It's very dramatic.
There is an additional scene when after Mary goes to the door and she says, oh, I hope you're not using the toilet. It's broken.
Yeah.
And he has, you know, a panic. He actually, in the deleted scene, he takes the whole toilet off of, you know, the ground.
Oh, yeah.
And he starts pouring it out of the window.
The side of the house.
I was so disgusted by that. And I'm so glad they took that out. Because, like, it would freeze to the siding, and it reminded me of this one time in college, somebody, like, drunkenly threw up outside of our building.
Oh, grody.
And it was there for months because it froze. And so, like, every day we would have to walk over this, like, frozen puke.
Oh my God, that's so gross.
Gross.
I would never even think about that.
And it was literally like right in front of the door to like the whole building.
That would be so gross.
It was pink and purple. It was like so gross.
God, that is the nastiest thing ever. You feel for him. You feel for Harry so bad in that scene when he's just stuck.
A nightmare is to like clog someone else's toilet.
It's the worst. That is the worst thing that can. Why is that? Like, that's the fear.
It's everyone's biggest fear. It's like just pure shame.
Yeah. And it's like we all go potty, and yet that is like, that is just so embarrassing. You just never want that to happen to you.
You never want to go up to someone and be like, I clogged the toilet. Or even worse, this case is like top. The worst you could do is diarrhea all over a bathroom and their toilet, and then it not stick the flush at all.
Yeah. Thank God, though, Mary does not stick around to see it because Lloyd pays her a visit and reminds her who he is and says, I have your briefcase. And she is like, oh my God, thank God you're here. I gotta go. So she kind of goes upstairs, tells Harry, hey, I gotta go. It's an emergency. Like, you know, thanks for coming over, but I gotta go.
He shows up just at her door. Like,
right?
And he's like, I have the briefcase at my hotel room.
Yeah. Oh, and then I forgot, right before that, she's downstairs and she's watching like Current Affair or whatever. And
Current Affair.
And they're like inside the Menendez brothers' attorney's house or something. And it's like, okay. So you like get an idea of like the heavy topics they talk about. And then it cuts to like the deaf Providence, Rhode Island boy who was sold a dead parakeet. And it just cuts to him like, I just thought he was really quiet.
So funny, though. She's like, these sick people.
Yeah. Who are these sick people?
It's literally, like, the guy she spent all day with.
Yeah.
The guy that she's about to, like, get in the car with.
Oh, I know. So he tells her he has her briefcase, and he's like, oh, it's at my hotel room. He takes this opportunity while she's in the bathroom to, like, practice what he would say to her. And he's like, you know, you make me feel like a schoolboy again. Like, I just feel so good when I'm around you. And I desperately want to make love to you. And then when she comes out of the bathroom, he's like, I desperately want to make love to a schoolboy. And her face, she's like, okay, like super terrified. And he's just like, wait, no, sorry.
You know, he says, like, do I have a chance? And like one out of 100, like what chance do I have?
Yeah.
Like she's like, actually, it's more like 1 out of 1,000,000. And then he gets so excited.
He's like, so you're telling me there's a chance?
Now that line was definitely had like a Mandela effect on me. That growing up, I always thought it was, so you're saying there's a chance. But really, it's so you're telling me there's a chance.
Oh, yeah.
And I've heard so many people repeat that line of, so you're saying there's a chance.
How funny. I always thought it was telling because I think it added, like, an extra, I don't know, like, oomph to it.
No, you're right. But I just always, I thought it was saying, and I would hear people say that all the time growing up.
It was so cute.
That's another, like, heavily quoted line.
He's, like, completely oblivious.
She's like, what?
Yeah. So then right then, Nicholas knocks on the door, and then Lloyd answers, and I just love that he looks at him, this man in a nice suit, and says, oh, thanks, we have enough towels. It's like, why the fuck would you think this man was in housekeeping?
He doesn't at all look like he works for the hotel.
I know. He's like, okay, lets himself in, shows that he has a gun. It's like, ooh, stuff is definitely starting to get dangerous. So stakes are raised again.
He tells him that they spent all, he's like, where's the money?
Yeah, he opens up the briefcase and he's like, what the hell is this? And he's like, oh, those are IOUs. Those are as good as money.
Yeah. And then he picks up one that says, like, Ferrari or Lamborghini or something. And it says how much money it is. He's like, ooh, hold on to that one.
Yeah. my God. Meanwhile, Harry, after his diarrhea adventure back in Mary's house, arrives back home only to be stopped by Beth at the bottom of the stairs. And she's, you don't really know exactly why, but she just looks at him and is like, hey, Harry, you never called me. And we know that she's up to something. We don't know exactly who she is or what is going to happen. Then we kind of cut back to Nicholas holding Mary and Lloyd hostage, basically.
Lloyd is, like, tied up or handcuffed to the bed.
Mm-hmm.
Then Harry comes in.
He comes in. He gets sort of roped into the mix, is also kind of taken hostage. Harry and Lloyd start arguing, and they're kind of like, okay, well, shoot me first. No, you shoot me first. Kind of a stupid, childish debate. And finally, Nicholas shoots Harry, and he goes down, and you're like, whoa, shit got real, and you kind of think Harry's done for, and Lloyd is totally freaking out.
He tried to, like, shoot him a bunch of times, and he has a terrible shot. He, like, misses everything.
He, like, literally shoots around him. Like, it's like Charlie Rocket standing there, and it's, like, shot up here, shot to the up here, above his head, to the side of his head, to the side of his shoulder. It's, like, a literal circle around him. Like, it is so off.
Yeah, it's as if, like, like, if you're throwing knives at somebody at the circus and you're supposed to collect perfectly around them.
Yeah. And so once
Lloyd is like, Harry, you have a terrible shot.
Yeah. Perfect opportunity for criticism.
The FBI agent, Beth, comes in and she explains the situation because, like, Mary and Lloyd are like, oh my God.
Yeah. They're like,
it's really fun. And Harry gets up and he's like, oh, they gave me this bulletproof vest. Yeah. And Lloyd goes, what if he shot you in the face?
Yeah. Yeah, what if he shot me in the face?
Like, that was a risk we were willing to take.
I love that. I love that. She's like, damn, it's okay.
Terrible. Like, that's one of the worst things you could hear from, you know, like, an FBI agent. Oh, like, your life was a risk we were willing to take.
Yeah. Like, Jesus. Thanks. Okay. Wow. And it's nice to know finally, like, who Beth has been all this time and that she's actually been, you know, watching them and then ends up protecting them. So that's kind of a nice reveal, too.
She's a really good, like, undercover agent.
Yeah. Because you just totally take her for, like, kind of this annoying woman and they don't really see at all that she could be anything else. So she was a great actress on top of that.
So they're outside with the police. And, you know, taking statements and all that. And then, like, a car pulls up and it's Mary's husband.
And insert another daydream sequence this time where Lloyd imagines shooting him, like, just violently shooting him. It's very, very over the top and sudden.
There's so many dream sequences.
He's very imaginative. He might be dumb, but he is very imaginative. There's that.
I forgot about that one, yeah.
And it just cuts to reality. He's like, hi, I'm Bobby. He's like, oh, hi. Just super nice to him.
Oh. So dramatic.
So it's like all this time, it was her husband. She was taken, so.
Yeah, so, and he's like, what was all that one in a million times?
Yeah. So, thank yeah, God they saved well, the day.
They, you know, they gave the briefcase, although it'd be empty, back to Mary. And Bobby made it home because he was being held ransom.
I know. And Nicholas poor guy.
And Shay get arrested.
All worked out in the end.
Yeah. And then, so now they're just like straight up walking home from acid. Like,
yeah.
Walking home.
How are they going to get
there? It's kind of weird. I mean, I guess because they spent all the money, but I'm kind of surprised that the family was not like, oh, let's like help you get home.
I thought that too. Like that. I was like, did they not like just buy them a plane ticket home? Or like at least give them some money to take with them to go home? I don't know. A reward?
I did see like an alternate kind of ending where they're after like leaving the hotel. And the concierge comes out, and he's like, oh, hello, gentlemen. And they're like, we're sorry, we don't have any money to pay you for the things we've charged. And he's like, oh, don't worry, the Swanson family has,
thing. That's good.
But they don't help men at all. They're just like, well, see you later.
Yeah. Just like with the big gulps. It's such a good moment. They're walking along, and a bus filled with ladies in bikinis.
Models.
Totally gorgeous models. Stop them and walk out of the bus and say, hey, we're looking for two guys to oil us up before competitions and be on tour with us for the next few months. And without missing a beat, they're like totally in awe, and they just go, you're in luck. There's a town about 3 miles that way if you want to go see if there's some guys down there. Just like, oh my God, are you stupid? And then literally within a moment as they're leaving, Lloyd says, are you crazy? Have you noticed what you've done? And then they go back, pull them over again, and says, I'm so sorry, my friend's a little slow. The town is back that way. Like, it's just a great finale. It's a great moment to end. You know, they're watching the bus drive away. They're like, man, two lucky guys. You're going to get to be, you know, don't worry. We'll catch our lucky break. It's just like, oh, my God. Oh, it's just precious. Like, absurd and precious at the same time.
And then that's it. They just seemingly walk home.
Yeah, it's kind of sad. But they're cute. They're friends at the end of the day. They are there for each other. They're sort of playing tag as they're walking home.
Yeah, they had some life experience.
They did, yes. Did it make them any smarter? I don't know. Not really sure. Don't think so. Overall, absolutely love this classic. It is so funny. I don't care what day and age it is. I don't care how old you are. This movie holds up. It is hilarious. I love it, and I highly recommend it for April Fool's Day, for sure.
Yeah, I mean, I loved it as an 8-year-old kid, and I love it as a 33-year-old woman.
Well, Bree, yeah. Every fool needs to have a drink or two, especially on April Fool's Day. We need to do...
Especially now in quarantine.
Yeah. If you are at home right now, which you should be, and you are listening to this, you need to have a drink and reward yourself for watching this silliness in this movie. We need to do our Dumb and Dumber drinking game.
All right, so my first one is anytime someone is pulling a prank on someone.
Ooh, I like that.
Any kind of subtle prank, even if it's an accidental prank.
Yes.
Anytime Lloyd is having a dream sequence.
Yes. There are a lot of those.
If there's going to be any kind of a, specifically not a shot, but mm-hmm. chug your whole drink.
A duration moment, of, yes.
It should be when he drinks the piss beer.
That's great.
Because, like, I can't think of another time that where it'd be more of a punishment.
Yeah.
To have to drink.
Ooh.
Like, half to a full beer, depending on where you're at.
I like that.
Then right after, you just imagined somebody.
Oh my God. Patty, you're so funny. That's so gross.
The point of a drinking game is the drinking is supposed to be kind of...
It's a little bit of a punishment.
A little bit of
a... Oh, that is awful. Like, I love it. Like, maybe take a sip every time you see them in a new eccentric outfit. That it's just totally wild and completely crazy looking. Love that.
Yeah, there's some great ones.
Patty's getting his drink ready already.
The bolo tie.
Oh, yeah.
Even, like, Harry's jacket when he goes out for the second date. Like, it's just all bad.
Yeah.
The suit.
Or how about when a bird dies, since there are two? Yeah, each time a bird dies,
take a shot. Take a shot every time a bird gets
killed. Aw, poor Petey. Rest in peace, Petey. And maybe take a shot when you see the blind kid because you do see him like two or three times. Once on TV, once when they walk into the neighborhood, and then I think Shay and Mental walk past him too. And when he's petting Pete.
I forgot the kid is in a part where they're like interviewing him.
Yeah. Every time you see the little blind boy take a shot.
Go out there. I would finish your drink when like the bus drives away.
Yeah. Well, I say, folks, enjoy Dumb and Dumber while you're inside. Don't be dumb or dumber and go outside. Stay inside. Patty just gave me the dumbest look. Like, do not even go there.
Oh. It is a great movie to watch right now because it's nostalgic. It's mm-hmm. funny. It's like a good, like, you know, distraction of what's going on.
Yeah. It's funny.
If anyone feels like really depressed or trapped, like, it's a good movie to watch because it reminds you of how funny things were. And then also, you know, they're driving, they're outside, they're going somewhere.
Yeah.
Kind of live vicariously through them being outside.
Oh, yeah. It's very silly. You want a good laugh. You want to kind of enjoy their journey and their trip. And you also just want to enjoy the comedy stylings of a lot of funny people, actually, in this movie. So it's a treat. It's definitely a treat. I love it.
I also encourage everybody to find the weaknesses of the friends and loved ones you are living with right now and figure out a really good April Fool's Day prank.
Thank you guys so much for tuning in. Thank you for being a part of this, especially during these crazy times. We appreciate you listening. And thank you, Bree, for phoning in because you are amazing. And I am a fool for you every single day. Patrick just gave me such a look. It's like,
I miss you guys so much. I miss, like,
we miss you.
Yeah, well, thanks for tuning in, and thank you to all the, you know, medical and first responders.
Yes.
We see you. You're doing a great job.
Yes, thank all you guys. Oh, my God.
People at banks and grocery stores.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, they're in the front line.
We all need, yeah, seriously, we all need you guys. Like, you are our heroes, so thank you, and keep on keeping on. Thank you so much to my big brother / our big sponsor, Bijan Sharifi. You are awesome. Thank you for the equipment, and thank you for setting up my files here so that even a phone in sounds really good, actually, on this here file. So thank you so much for all your help and for everything you've done for us. Thank you so much, Fiona, for being a good little chunky child and being a nice little producer for us in these quarantine times.
And yeah, she talked to me earlier when me and I were just chit-chatting.
Yeah.
And she was wondering where I was.
Yeah, she's like, I can hear you. I can't smell you or see you. What's going on? Oh, and don't forget to follow us on Instagram and Pinterest and Facebook. Visit the website and sign up for the mailing list or become a member and get even more. So check it out for sure.
So in college,
uh-huh.
I lived with these two amazing girls that are still some of my best friends to this day.
Aww.
And one of them I would describe as having a extreme irrational fear of rabbits.
Oh.
Rabbit, I don't get it. She told me that she doesn't like their necks, and what? I have yet to see a neck on a rabbit or bunny.
They don't have necks, really. Like, they're just closed. They're just in their little.
That's what I said.
Maybe that's what she doesn't like. She doesn't like their no necks?
Well, she said when the necks, like, go up, like, when they lift their heads, what? It, like, really freaks her out for some reason.
What?
Well. In college one night, she was either out working or asleep. She probably was asleep. Mm-hmm. And my other roommate and I, we printed out all these photos of, like, weird rabbits and then, like, Donnie Darko.
Oh.
We cut, We cut them up and put them, like, all over the apartment in different places that she would, like, see them. So, one is when she brushes her teeth and looks in the mirror, there'd be one on the wall, like, directly behind her.
Oh, my God. When oh, my God, that's terrifying.
That was a Donnie Darko one. When she opens up her toilet seat, it was, like, on the top lid, like, on the back. So, when she
they're all hidden.
And then, like, we knew that she would make coffee every morning. So the drawer where, like, utensils were and her, like coffee grounds. And just, we would put it in the lids of things. So when you open it up, it would be, like, right there looking at her.
Oh, my
she
God.
She got up earlier than us. And it was just all these, like, slamming of doors and screaming. And, like, ah, ah, like,